As we move closer to the end of the age, you are going to find that the thin line between the supernatural and the natural will become thinner. And so, supernatural things will begin to become the order of the day. In equipping believers for this season, we need to groom, disciple the average believer to be able to contain supernatural realities. And if we fail to do that, because it seems there is a drive towards positive thinking, there's a drive towards motivational speaking, there's a drive towards blending of colors, there's a drive towards packaging us to become more presentable to the age that we are in. There's a positive side to that. Anyway, but we don't do that at the expense of our spiritual capacity. The Bible says that as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, that's how the truth is going to be withstood in the end of the age. If you read the book of Revelation, you will see that most of the things that the Antichrist is going to use to bring about global governance and government is science mixed with the supernatural. There is a unique way that God will be leading his people towards the end of the age. And first of all, each and every one of us must develop proficiency in hearing from God, receiving from God, responding to God. We must also understand demonic activities and how to handle them. Father, this morning we ask for grace. The eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. That in this house, your wisdom will be at work on the heart of every hearer. As you transform us from being hearers to becoming active kingdom functionaries in the places where you have domiciled us. Let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. You may be seated. God bless you. All right. I'd like us to do a contrast and a comparison quickly before we move. A contrast and a comparison. Hallelujah. And what we are trying to compare is the state of a man that is demonized vis-a-vis a man that is possessed. So we'll go to the book of Mark chapter 1. Are you with me? Stay with me. We'll go to the book of Mark chapter 1 and then we will read the condition, the symptoms around a man that is demonized. Then we'll go to the book of Mark chapter 5. We'll read the symptoms around a man that is possessed. Then we'll draw a chart, demonized versus possessed. Then we'll begin to pick it one by one. Is that clear? All right, so let's do Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, quickly, from verse 23. Mark chapter 1 from verse 23. Are you there, technical man? And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Next verse. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Next verse. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, it means there was agitation, there was manifestation. Are you with me? Because, okay, let me not go faster than my shoes. He came out of him. He torn him, shook him fervently, and he came out of him. All right? Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 5, beginning from verse 1. Mark chapter 5, beginning from verse 1. We want to do a contrast and a comparison. A demonized man versus a possessed man. Just to know the difference. And as you notice in our study as we progress, it's the same way Jesus dealt with a demonized situation that he dealt with a possessed situation. Are you with me in Mark chapter 5? Oh, technical man, if you are already indicating that you are helping me. Okay. All right, there's a challenge there. Mark chapter 5, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he should not send him away out of the country. I think we need a day for that. Why the demons requested that they should be localized. Alright. Verse 13, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into this swine, and the head ran violently down a steep place into the sea." There were about what? 2,000. You see that my definition of legion? "And were choked in the sea." Hallelujah. So if you have drawn your chart, you put demonized here, and then you put possessed on the other side. Are you still with me? The first thing we're going to have to identify is that there are some similarities between demonized people and possessed people. And the first similarity is that the demons that demonize a personality and the demons that possess a personality have the capacity to use the person's vocal cord. So, demonized, the demons can use the person's vocal cord. Possessed, the demons can use the person's vocal cord. So, just in case you are ministering and then someone begins to speak under the unction of demonic transmission, that is not an indication that the person is possessed. Because even people that are demonized, to the demons in them can cry out. That must be taken. Hallelujah. Are you with me? The pastor came to me with his wife for counseling. Please check your phone. If it's going to disturb us, take care of it. We are doing serious business here. So the pastor came to me with his wife. He's not been in town for a long time. And so he came to visit when he heard I was around. So he was at home in my office. And I was just sitting over the table. And I was speaking to them and all of that. He's in ministry. The wife is in ministry. And as I was speaking to them, suddenly the wife started speaking. So you don't need to change the location, your location. Just as you are sitting there, just keep sitting. And then just give the command from there. And then the reaction took like 45 minutes of very violent. And the pastor was ashamed because he came to visit. He came to visit. And the visit became, in fact, so we didn't even say goodbye. It ended on a very terrible note. She was demonized. Meanwhile, a great woman of God. So, it's not an indication of possession. People that are demonized, the demons in them can use their vocal call. People that are possessed. So it's common across board. Number two. Now, the status, the state of a man that is demonized, I need to explain. I did a mathematical stuff here just to enhance my teaching. Please, pardon me, okay? A demonized man, number two, under the demonized column, he is in control of 90% of his life and the demon controls 10. So what makes him demonized is that there's an aspect of his life that is not under his control. There's just an aspect. And that aspect can be your financial life. That aspect can be your marital life. That aspect can be your ability to be fruitful, either as a man or as a woman. That aspect can be running under a different government altogether. Meanwhile, 90% of his life is under control. But there's one aspect, just 10% or thereabout. The range of control that the demon will have, are you with me? The range of control that the demon will have, that we can classify him as demonized, is from 10 to 40%. If the demon has from 10 to 40% control of a certain aspect of his life, remember, the difference between a demonized man and a possessed man is that the demonized man only has one aspect or a few aspects of his life under demonic control from like 10 to 40%. Exactly. But you see, for the man that is possessed, the demon is in the center of his life. Not just one aspect of his life. It is in the center of his life, and that demon controls from 50% of his total life to 90%. There is nothing like 100% possession. I'm going to show you. Exactly. For a demonized man, it's an aspect. But for a possessed person, it is the center. The demons determine where he sleeps. The demons determine the most conducive location for him. If you have ever met a real Ezemu, he likes the forest. Not because he's a farmer. The demons will determine where you find most convenient. Because the demons are in the center of your civilization. But in the case of demonization, the demons only control what? An aspect. Now, the reason for this teaching is so that you can run a check on your life. You can run a check on your life. I notice that most people, satanic strongholds, have a foundation. Are you with me? Good. A certain satanic stronghold can have the foundation of anger. And as long as you are comfortable with maintaining a structure of anger in your vessel, you have indirectly provided an accommodation for the oppression of that spirit. There is a level of transformation that is needed in order for the spirit to lose the legal premise upon which he finds attachment to your life. You see, the salvation that Jesus gave us is a complete salvation that is designed to ensure that Satan has no place in your life and in my life. I'm going to show you the stages of salvation and the things that it eliminates, the liabilities it cuts off, so that we are altogether eventually creatures that have only one master. Are you with me? That's the kind of salvation that we received in Jesus. But it happens to be that many believers have despised the path of spiritual progress. And when you despise the path of spiritual progress, what you have done is that you have created a possibility of another government to annex a part of your ecosystem and bring it under its control. Are you still with me? Once in a while you might get angry. Alright, but there's an anger that is demonic. When even you yourself, when you have manifested it, you'll be ashamed of yourself when you come back to yourself. It is an indication of the fact that there's a demon of anger that is at work in your life. And maybe the purpose of that demon of anger is to scare away people that want to be in a serious relationship with you. And anytime a relationship starts becoming serious, then the trigger goes out. And then the person that sees you as an angel now sees, there's no possibility here. Meanwhile, are you with me? The person doesn't consider that anger to be a threat to his destiny. He's demonized. I've seen in many cases, people actually pamper the platform that the demons use as a stronghold to operate in their life. When you talk about it, yeah. And so as a counselor, hallelujah. Because there are several times you counsel people, you look like a fool. As a counselor, you need humility. You know, people don't know that by the grace of God, we have years of experience in ministry. Years counseling. People that read psychology don't know as much as some of us know by dealing with people practically. Is there an area of your life when if somebody wants to counsel, you want to challenge it, you flare up? It's a stronghold. And that thing, if it's not checked, is going to destroy you. There is a demon that is responsible. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Yeah.
If you are dealing with a demon, because the spiritual realm is legalistic, I will show you the structure of the realm. You will need to remove the platform that gives the demon legality. That platform is existent in your life. The moment we take the platform away, the devil will have no ground to operate in your life. So those areas that he used to control, he will have to let go of them. Are you with me? Now, most of the time, when you say you have a new season, most of the time, it happens when you have removed the legal premise upon which resisting and limiting demons have been operating on, and then a new strand of possibility now opens up, and you can attempt and succeed at things that you previously attempted and you met a bottleneck. Are you with me? All right. So don't forget, for a demonized man, it's a part of his life that is under demonic control. Just like there was a time in Nigeria when Boko Haram was controlling 3 local government areas. It was not as if the king of Nigeria has been deposed. No. The king was still very functional, but he did not have authority anymore over 3 local governments that have been annexed by a guerrilla force. Number 3. Demonized section. The aspect of the believer's life that is under demonic control is patterned after the will of the unclean spirit. The aspect of the believer's life that is under demonic control is patterned after the will of that unclean spirit. Are you with me? Good. Whereas for a possessed man, his entire life is a manifestation. His entire life is a manifestation of the story that that spirit is telling to a generation. The possessed man becomes a platform through which the identity of that spirit being can be advertised. Are you with me? Whereas in a demonized case, that aspect of the person's life that is under demonic control is operating according to the will of that spirit. I've met several people, ladies and guys alike, that walked into this place and they love God. They love God. They like prayer, but they cannot stop immorality. See, that aspect of their life is a contradiction because something else is in control. See, and the way the spirit controls that aspect is consistent with his own will. So it is possible that in the life of a personality, there are contradictions. He has one life this side, then he has another life the other side. I was just reading some documents about a great prophet that rose, name withheld, so that you will not be confused. And one of my teachers, that my teacher is late now, but I found his materials very helpful in my development in the Lord. Hallelujah. And there are not many people like that in my life. If you take substance from here, there, very soon, you will have nothing concrete to be built in your life. As you are seeing me now, in terms of books, I've only read two authors consistently for the past 20 years. I'm not intending to add another one. Because I discovered from the Lord that those people have a heritage from the Lord that is needed to build the ministry God has given me. I didn't choose them. The Lord chose them for me. Do you understand that? So I have worked with their materials for like 20 years. Many people have given me books here. They are on my shelf. I never read them. You know why? The Lord will have to witness to me. Like, it doesn't matter who comes to town. I'm not going. There are preachers in this country that I can attend their meetings. There are few of them. It doesn't matter whether he comes with a helicopter. I'm not there. Right? Because these days, there are so many streams that are flowing. And foolish believers are hooking up to just every, let's drink and, you know, we'll develop. You will become something you will not recognize in the days to come. Are you with me? So these two men, in terms of literature, it is their materials I feed on. I feed on their materials, the materials of the disciples that took over from them to third and fourth generation. It's only that lineage that I feed on. Are you with me? And for your information, the Lord never, and I mean never in capital letters, ever allowed me read one novel till today. Never read a novel. James Hadley Chase, never. I only read my books in school, and I read these two authors, and I've lavishly read the Bible to maintain the purity of what God gave me. Are you with me? So one of these my teachers, well, I have to tell you my secret. I will not attend. You go, they say there is one guy. I'm not going. Because I have the responsibility to maintain the purity of what I receive from God. There are several people that went to several meetings, came back, and began to lust after married women that are pregnant. Not just married women, the ones that are pregnant. But we'll go into that. There's something called contamination. We have to discuss that quickly. Because one of the things we need to do this evening is sanitation. We'll fumigate your life. So that just in case you went to Jalingo, you got contamination, we are still dealing with that, then you went to New Karo. Are you with me? Amen. You're not with me. You're not with me. I can tell you how many people have laid hands on me. Now, I can give you the inventory. It doesn't matter whether when you stand like this, the dead people begin to rise from the mortuary. You will not lay hands. And if I can't control, if I can't control, you just came on the pulpit and then you came out. If I can't control it physically, I will shut up here. So you can lay what you want. It will enter. That in a situation where I'm not in control. The pipe has where they close it here. Just to maintain purity. Because if you know the level of demonic infestation, you will take your vessel seriously. So this teacher of mine that I believe in so much, from start to finish, in fact, at the age of 80, this man I'm talking about came to the pulpit and presented four generations of Christ followers from his loins. At the age of 80, four generations. No one served the devil. That's the record I'm talking about. It's a pure record. The other one, they put him in prison because of the gospel. And then 20 years later in prison, they came and said, "Are you willing to deny Jesus now so that we can free you?" There was no need for him to be free. He stayed in that prison and died there. It is from that prison he wrote the books that we are reading today. Meanwhile, for many of us, your example of what big ministry is the finances, the funds. That can only last for one generation. I'm talking about men that are long dead, and their books are like the bones of Elisha. When dead men fall on it, they rise up. This teacher of mine he wrote an article that I just read last week. And he spoke about a great prophet. If I mention his name, you will know him. Great prophet. In fact, when that man is under the influence of the Holy Spirit, no man can match him. He was the first person that used the gift of word of knowledge in a service to, he can call somebody's name. That thing that Cornelius received, the direction to the house and the number of the house on the street in another city, was the first man that used the gift of word of knowledge like that, apart from Bible days. But you see, this, my teacher, are you with me? He gave us an account of a secret that the second in command to that great prophet told him before he died. And he was 80 years old before he made that comment. That great prophet, there were two streams of the supernatural that flows through him. One was from God, and the other one was from the devil. That great prophet was demonized. And he gave us the evidences to show that there was an aspect of his life that was under demonic control. You see, I rest my case. Let me not press further. If you have ears, you have already heard what I'm talking about. You need to put yourself, discipline yourself as a minister of God to be a fountain of living waters. And when you notice that there is pollution in your lives, don't preach. Shut down and go back to the refiner and the purifier of silver. His name is Jehovah Mekadishkem. It is he that purifies the sons of Levi and purges them like gold and silver so that they can offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Because the stream you release will outlive you. You know, we already have tapes and we have messages. Those messages will outlive us. The spirit that we carry have been condensed into words and kept as messages. Are you with me? Most of the people that have benefited from what I have preached have never seen me. 90% of them. They are not here. Hallelujah. Someone listening to the tape, an unbeliever, just started speaking in tongues. That was in Newi. So there was no salvation. The Holy Ghost baptism protocol. When we're still on air, those days, a woman in Mina that was a Muslim was listening to me and started speaking in tongues. And the husband called our number and said, that witchcraft that you have used to bewitch my wife. She was flowing in the spirit. Is the stream. Keep that stream pure. That is the evidence of your ministry. A big preacher can be demonized. This prophet I'm talking about began to teach some things in his later days in ministry that has formed a major stumbling block in the body of Christ. It was these masters that I learned from that now showed that it was that other stream that was responsible for that stumbling block. The evil stream was never checked, even though the man was highly prophetic and was gifted with the gift of discernment, but he could not discern himself. Now, are you with me? Take your Bible or your jotter. Raise it, let's see. Put it on your face like this. Can you read it? Read it. Okay, put it down. Something that is too close to you, you can't see it. And it happens to be that you are closest to yourself than every other thing. So the great prophet was able to know people's addresses, but he couldn't see that there was an aspect of his life that was under the control of the devil. It is, are you with me? Let me tell you my secret practices. Every 6 months, I run a check if I picked anything from a strange place. If not, you will deny the things you preach in old age. When you are, the things you preach when you were younger, you will crush them in old age. I've seen a preacher in this country that had a very powerful faith ministry. He's polluted right now. And the things he preached with were sound doctrine those days. He's contradicting those things himself, and he's one man. Those are conditions of people that were demonized that never checked it. It will pollute the stream eventually. I rest my case. Number 4. For a demonized man, his natural personality and temperament is retained. Natural personality. If you know him from primary school, he has not changed. The same guy, if he's jovial, he's still like that for a demonized man. But for a possessed man, he functions with the temperament and the personality of the spirit that has possessed him. Because he is a theater to express that spirit. Did you get that? You didn't get that? Okay. See, this is my sister. She's always, even if she's suffering, she's laughing. This one. That's how she is. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost in how. That is how she is naturally. She might be passing through troubles, even trying to tell you a serious thing, she'll be smiling, she'll be laughing. That's how she is. That's her personality. I'm saying that in a case of somebody that is demonized, the personality is retained. If the person is jovial, the person will still be jovial. But in the case of a possessed person, the person's temperament and personality is replaced with that of the spirit being. If you read the story of the madman of Gadara, you will never be able to touch his personality in all of his expressions. The personality he was putting on, what he wore as personality, was the temperament and the nature of the spirit that was at work through his life. It was when Jesus casted the spirit out, we now discover that the man naturally was a cool man. We couldn't see that in his previous escapades, because his personality was already taking over. Are you with me? Are you with me? Alright. So, those are the four things about possessed people and about demonized people. You should be able to sit down and say, no. If I've been a Christian this long, this thing should not continue in my life. And then you begin to address it in the place of prayer. When you begin to address things like that, you begin to remove ground from whence the devil can manipulate. Is that clear? Alright, stay with me. Stay with me. The next point, I think I have done this lecture before, how demons enter. Entry point. Is there any need for us to do it again? I'm more concerned this morning about how to live demon free. That's my concern. But if you say we should touch how demons enter, demonic entry points, demonic open doors, I will say little on that. So the next subheading is how demons enter. One. In order for me to mention that one, I need to teach us a few things about scripture. Technical man, can you give me Genesis chapter 12 quickly from verse 1? Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1. Hallelujah. We'll go into practicals from this evening. Ministrations from this evening, Sunday evening. Okay? But now we have to teach. The Lord has been emphasizing that I need to calm down and teach the things that he has taught me. So I'm trying to obey now. He said, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's my statement. The statement I'm trying to extract from here is, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. There is something I'm going to do in you. And when I accomplish what I want to do in you, every family that comes upon the face of the earth will have an inheritance to draw from that which I will do in you. Are you with me? There is one major spiritual principle that you must understand. It's a spiritual principle. So it is active in the divine realm and also active in the demonic realm. That principle is called in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Can I take you further? All right. The New Testament perspective of this scripture is the book of Galatians chapter 3. Come with me. Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3 from verse 13, The Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. It means that the rise of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus was what extended the bounties of the commonwealth of Israel to Gentile nations. It means that before Jesus came, are you with me? Before Jesus came, the commonwealth of God was committed to a nation, and it was stewarded in that nation. Everything that God did was in that nation. And that's why every prophet in the Old Testament happened to be Jewish. So when Christ came, he increased the scope of application of that which was already modeled in that nation. Are you with me? I've not finished my reading. I'm just explaining. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's inheritance. So that we will become capable of receiving the reality of, or the essence of the covenant that Abraham made with God. The essence of that covenant was to be able to receive a spirit. It was in a spirit. You will notice, oh man, I don't have time to digress. I don't want to digress and then start talking about the covenant of Abraham. But the essence of the covenant was a certain spirit. So all the things that Christ did was to create an alignment for us so that we can become eligible to receiving this promise of the Spirit. That's inheritance. So when we are talking about spiritual things, we cannot overemphasize the subject of inheritance. That is the infrastructure that God has put in place to ensure that spiritual things travel from one generation to another, so that God won't need to come and reinvent his will in every generation. He established the statute of inheritance as a procedure by which bounties can be transferred from one generation to another generation. You will find Jesus making this kind of statement: I have called you to reap where you have not sown. I've called you to straw where you have not bestowed labor. Now, the only way that is possible, because Jesus used parables there, the only way you can reap where you have not sown is inheritance. The house that your father built, in the fullness of time, then I say, what's your name, bro? What? Miracle. They say, miracle, this is the inheritance that fell to you. You did not sow, but you have reaped something. It's through the principle of what? Jesus emphasized it a lot during his earthly ministry to give us an insight about the infrastructure that is used to transfer things from generation to generation. Having known that, I need to tell you that one of the entry points, are you with me? One of the entry points of demons is inheritance. The same way, I hope you know what created the alignment for us to become eligible to tap into the spiritual heritage that was pioneered by the covenant of Abraham was through Jesus, as we became recipients of the salvation that Jesus made available through faith. We now became eligible because spiritually we have been considered to be sons of Abraham. And we became sons of Abraham by faith. And everything that came with Abraham, we became eligible to inherit it. Meanwhile, God, are you here? Meanwhile, in the book of Genesis chapter 12, God was working something in the life of Abraham with the hope that all the families of the earth will have a portion to inherit. In the practicality of it, we now see that it was faith in the finished works of Christ that made us sons, that we are adopted into that precious line, that lineage, and we became legitimate heirs that could lay claim to the substance of the reality of the covenant, which is the Spirit. That means Abraham was walking by the Spirit. That's what me separated. Oh, I don't have time. Let me not. There are temptations for me to abandon this message and start a new one. But we will not yield this morning. Are you with me? He had the Spirit. It was the life of the Spirit that man lived. That was why he was able to live above circumstances, above economies, above persecution, above intimidation. He explored the possibilities of the life of the Spirit. And if God was able to establish that package, establish that technology in Abraham, he is saying that since we are descendants of Abraham and we have the same resources by which Abraham executed his destiny, so much so that he gained so much stature, and he earned the title of being the friend of God. He earned the title of being the father of faith. He earned the title of being the father of many nations. And Jews, Christians, and Muslims claim him as their spiritual ancestor. This man I'm talking about, there was something God worked in him. We have access to the same essence, same substance of what God worked in him through the principle of inheritance. And that was what our unity with Jesus, all right, the alignment that he created so that we can become eligible. That's what Galatians is saying. He's showing us the big family tree. That from Abraham, it has gone far beyond the caucus of the Jews. That is why such among us from Utupa can be prophets now. Such among us from far away Vandekia can prophesy by the Spirit, because the same inheritance has come to us. And what he performed before, he can perform again, because all those realities are captured in a resource base, which is the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? So you cannot talk about spiritual things without talking about inheritance. Now, there's somebody in the congregation quoting a scripture and saying, Pastor, your presentation is wonderful. But you see, have you considered the scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. If English means anything at all, then there is a renewal here. Glory to God. All right, let me tell you about redemption. There are two sides to it. The first side of redemption, can you give me Romans chapter 5, verse 10? Let me tell you about redemption before I start my little piece. Like I said yesterday, I was trained in the faith college myself, and I had to unveil some of my credentials. Hallelujah. But after being trained in the faith college, I went to study the Bible for an additional 15 years. And I found out that there were many deductions that was part of our training, because they expected us to be a certain kind of people. That's what we call cloning or mind bending. The perfect law of liberty is the Bible. If you sit on it, you will outgrow. Hallelujah. The miniature perspectives that were given to you so that you could be a certain kind of person. Your conviction level will be consistent to what you were taught, not what you have discovered. So I had to use 15 years to purge myself from the training and become an apostolic personality, not a faith preacher. Took 15 years of migration. Is that clear? Good. Well, I don't want to go further than that. Are you still with me? There's an aspect of salvation I need to show you quickly. There are two aspects. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. He said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That's the first aspect. And that aspect is what we call the legal aspect. We were enemies because our ancestors rebelled, and we all became guilty of the same rebellion, inheritance. Is that clear? Now, and the position of the justice system of heaven about that rebellion was that the position is dead. The day that you eat of this fruit, in dying ye shall surely die. So Jesus came to die, to satisfy the claims of divine justice, because that's the position of the justice system of heaven concerning that rebellion that Adam was involved with. So Jesus came to die. And it happens to be that Jesus was innocent. He didn't die for himself. For instance, he was not guilty of the original sin, because Jesus was a product of the Holy Spirit and the woman. He did not come from male genealogy. Are you here? And that manipulation was done so that he will not have a heritage that is stuck in the same deficiency and liability that is coming to redeem us from. Are you here? So he was not guilty of the original sin. That's the only reason why he qualified to satisfy the claims of divine justice. The next challenge for Jesus was his human living. He has to live out a life that is absolutely submitted to the will of God and not miss it once. And the Bible says in him there was found no sin. So, in terms of nature, he was sinless by nature. He was also sinless by conduct. And because he was sinless by conduct, he was not supposed to go to hell. Are you with me? That destiny was not his. But Satan did not check his books properly before he admitted him into the underworld. Now, since he was innocent, the possibility of substitution is the basis upon which our salvation was crafted. That is going to hell and he's suffering and everything now. It can be applied to you, because in the realm of the spirit, substitution is a possibility. That is what Moses wanted to teach us in the day where Israel left Egypt. The angel of death was assigned from heaven to come and destroy every firstborn. And Moses, realizing that substitution was a possibility, and through the gift of word of wisdom, knew that the spirit realm will accept a ram for a man. So he killed the ram, each family, and put it on their doorposts and their lintels. And when the angel of death came, nobody consulted with him, came to Egypt, he saw that in Goshen, somebody helped him to kill the firstborn before he came. That's why he passed over. Are you following?
You're not following.
I said, are you following? So the Passover thing was not because the angel was instructed, passed. No, he came to do his assignment, to plumb that. He just found out, okay, somebody helped me take care of the issue of Goshen. That's why, what? So it was the principle of substitution that was used. So Jesus now substituted for us, because he himself had no sin. And Satan had allowed him to suffer. So the suffering must have value. It must produce something. What is it going to produce? When you connect to it by faith, it becomes your own suffering. Because substitution is what? It's possible. Is that clear? That's the legal side. How many of you here? Okay, Ogbe, I hope you are here. You know it is possible for someone to receive judgment from the court and it was never implemented. Judgment that was never enforced. So, legally, you are free. Are you with me? In the spirit world, every being there knows you are free, because the claims of divine justice have been satisfied. But Satan doesn't play according to the rules. He's not a good man. He doesn't play with the rules. Even though you are free in the spirit realm, he still brings it here. There is a possibility that you will accept it as, okay, this is the pattern that flows in our family. And even though legally you have been declared free, but you lived with it all the days of your life. I'm saying that there's a difference between your legal position and your actual experience. That's what I'm saying. And the reason for this teaching is to show you that there are still demons that want to demonize aspects of your life, even though, by reason of your legal position, you are not supposed to have that situation. And hence, I need to teach you how to exercise your faith in order to undo that protocol that is illegally gaining ground in your life. That's what I'm doing. But for you to now say, because is legally established, so it is. You don't know the devil. That's why Jesus said we should not be ignorant of his devices. You have accepted a lot of baggage with that kind of submission. There is no ground given to you by God that you will not fight for. It was God that gave them the land of Canaan. And the way God gave them was not by taking it from the owners. He didn't boggle the owners of the land. It was in the book of Genesis that God taught us the law of the land. The law. This land, he has laws. Are you here? It has laws. If you go back to just try to read the Old Testament, let me give you a few clues. Because that's not where I'm going. When we go into territorial priesthood, I will show you some things you will never believe is in your mind. The laws of the land. One of the laws that God gave the children of Israel when they were moving into the promised land was that they should not shed blood. Don't shed blood. Don't shed blood. So there are many regulations, many rules that we should obey if we're going to live peaceably in a certain land. Do you still realize that there was a man called David, and David had an intention to build God a temple? But when the prophets went to check, they said, see, your hand has so much blood, God will not accept you building it, even though you are beloved. Are you with me? Do you know that David didn't know before that time that the blood equation can actually determine what you can do? I don't want to say something. This one is by revelation. I don't want to say it. Some of you will be angry with me. Are you still following? These guys that God took their land and gave to the Israelites, they were violating the laws of the land. And by the time Moses was making an inquiry about his people, God told him that the reason why you can't possess that land now is because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. God has a cup for every land. It's a cup that contains his iniquity level. And God was saying that, see, your people will go into captivity. That captivity is incubation. Because they are landless. So they will be incubated and accommodated by Egypt until 400 years. After 400 years, the iniquity of the Amorites would have been full. It is the land itself that we reject them. That is the only reason why if you come that time, you can conquer them. Because the land will what? So it's not as if God boggled the people. No, he waited for them to use their own hands to violate the laws of the land. Are you there? That's one side. Second side, God now told them, I've given you the land, but you must begin to contend and possess it in battle. There is nothing that God gave you that you will not fight to establish. Because Satan doesn't play according to the rules. He is illegal. For many people, you thought you married into bliss. Because the way your wedding pictures are, you see, you do like this. Para. 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 When you finish snapping those pictures, you will find out that 90% of the people that saw the pictures that are your relatives were angry. Satan is a colonial master. He wants to colonize more territory. When he was summoned in heaven, in the book of Job chapter 1, they asked him to give a report of his operations. He said, I've been walking up and down and to and fro the earth. That's not wandering. If you don't know where he's coming from, the last place he served in God's government, before he was deposed, he was doing that kind of oscillatory walk in Zion. And that walk in Hebrew is called halak. It's the kind of walk that you do when you are trading. Yes. How many of you have been to the floor of Nigerian Stock Exchange where they are trading shares? You have been there. You hear? What is it now?
It's 57.
Sell, sell, sell! It's trading. What they are doing in that Nigerian stock exchange is halak. It's a work of priesthood that is involved in trading floors. Sometimes, an ancestor of yours can go to the devil and say, see, I want to be king. Then the devil says, but it's not your lineage. I'm supposed to be king. He says, I know, but I want to be king. It's okay. This one will involve manipulation of destiny. And that's an illegality according to the laws of heaven. If you have read Lamentation chapter 5, 36, you see, to subvert a man in his course, the Lord does not approve it. So this will involve breaking the rules. Huh? Okay. The consequence of this is that it is only you that will be king. But your descendants after you will be slaves for 18 generations. That's halak. That's the work. The work of priesthood that is involved in trading. The guy has traded 18 generations so that he can be king for 36 years. You are not. In his halak business, he discovered that there was only one territory he could not cover, which was where Job was. And that was why he had those details about you. He had covered every other thing there. Two trading. He said, okay, take 2 years. Be king. It's not aimless. It's not aimless walking. It's the same kind of walk that priests were walking when they carried the ark on their shoulder. And when their feet touched Jordan, he parted. It's halak. So in his halak business, he has come to your father's house. If he saw Job, he met your grandfather. The only thing you don't know is what he transacted with him. And you will be a novice spiritually by the law of inheritance to think that that thing will not affect you. The point is that we have a superior case, a superior legality in the spirit. You need to be taught how to superimpose that new legality upon the transaction that existed. If you think that transaction has no impact, you don't understand that somebody like Kogi State Governor never did election, but he has ruled for 4 years. Those kind of things happen when you don't know that the laws of transaction are potent. How many of you are from Kogi State? You know the story. He never contested. He didn't print any poster, but he ruled for 4 years by halaki. It is only you that is looking for PVC to win. Only you. You are counting it. You are counting PVC. And say maybe eventually the number will add up. Some other people know how to halak. The work of priests in the business of trading. Is that clear? As he was able to locate Job, he didn't have address, but he went to and fro the entire earth. He passed through your family. And maybe there was a greedy man there that wanted another person's land in the 17th generation. It's okay. You want land? There are only two people alive that know it's not yours, so we kill them. At the moment, there's nobody to press charges. We build a mansion there. Hallelujah. Well, you see, the devil has aged to his advantage. He knows you will leave the scene, and then the harvest your transaction creates for him will make him king. There is a knowledge you need to be on the trading floor. One of the greatest battles I had yesterday in the office was to, I wanted to teach about Satan. The seven descriptions of Satan in the Bible. You will know he's not, God calls him murderer, thief, but never calls him fool. Never. So you need spiritual intelligence to be able to combat that foe called Satan. He is a competent barrister. Very competent. He knows the law on all sides. He knows the one in the realm of God. He also knows the one he created. The righteousness he created to sustain the power of his own kingdom. Are you with me now? Because of this, inheritance is critical. That's the first possible open door. I noticed my grandfather was an excessively angry man. If he goes angry, at the age of 90, if my grandfather gets angry, because I knew him at 90, and he gets angry, say by 9 a.m. in the morning, he will start cooling down about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yes. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My grandmom was exceptionally humble because that was the only mode you could sustain to live with it. He was a warrior. And naturally, you know, my dad would be like that. Because my dad was the only son among 18 children that could stand him. When the man is doing that thing, my dad would stand his own. And the reason why he couldn't win was because my dad's own was more. So you can't imagine what I'm saying. You can't. Only for me to discover that the platform that the enemy was using to manipulate our family was tied to that anger. I was an angry man myself. And then the Lord opened my eyes to see that that anger was a platform. I had to give it away. It took 8 years before the Lord. Yes. Then I saw that the patterns that were consistent in my family, my life was different. If you are doing trading and to remove grounds of legality from the enemy, it is not something you will do by a night vigil declaration. I know you want to wake up by 12 in the night and say, come on, go, 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 go. There is a lot that can do. But you need to track reliability to the platform that legitimizes it. The first entry point of demons is through the passageway of inheritance. First entry point. I remember in 300 level in school, I've told you people the stories before. I will study, come into the hall, and the thing will vanish. Yes, God, I was a proud man. I believed that my intelligence was, the in thing. And God allowed it to happen. But now I know how it happened. He allowed it to happen to humble me so that I will not take a lecturing job. And I will accept to do what I'm doing today. Are you with me? How did it happen? It was an attack. It is now I know. Because I have the stories from the back end now. And even though I was a tongue talker, I was a fasting Christian, I was a praying Christian, they were still able to manipulate my mind. You understand that? Those were the days I discovered that what God, the reason why God allowed them to manipulate my mind and I lost everything I read, was because my pride was drawn from my mental capacity. And God, in his dealings, wanted me to have him as my confidence and not my intellectual capacity. You understand what I'm talking about? So he allowed it. And that dealing worked for good because I lost confidence in myself. I now gained confidence in the Lord. And by the Lord, I was able to run through a wall and to break through a troop. But the actual brain loss that I experienced was an attack that I was a believer, but yes, it was still possible. Not because I was in sin. There was a ground. As long as I was holding to that pride and that anger, I was a recipient for manipulation. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And it was demons that executed the will of anybody that was running that altar. Lost everything I read. And then after the exam, when I come out, I will remember everything. Those manipulations were able to work even though I was a believer. The way I terminated it was that I had to trace the ground from whence it operated. And as I was giving away that anger, I did a lot of people will do something and I'll become angry, but I'll be talking to myself. It was hard work. I was carrying the cross daily in the area of anger until it lost its stronghold. And then a new lease of life broke out. And then I now became beyond the reproach of that manipulation, because I was no longer guilty of that work of the flesh. Is that clear? All right, so inheritance. That's the first entry point. Two, personal occult involvement. Personal occult involvement. You have seen the nature of demons before? When an unclean spirit leaves a man, unclean spirits will not want to agree that a previous ground that they had conquered, they lost. They will never want to agree. They will go and make arrangements on how to come resecure the place. So if someone was previously in the occult and he now gives his life to Christ, tell him, from the first day he gave his life, tell him that your life cannot be like the life of the average Christian. Demons will come to check you out. And demons are patient. Demons are loyal. They are faithful. So you yourself make up your mind that you are going to be faithful to Jesus. Even when nobody wants to pray, you don't have a choice. You need to connect. Yes. You need to build robust spiritual capacity. Some of you listen to me here, not online, here. You have used charms before. Use tools from Ogugu. You will be naked in the night and say, "Oh, touch it, bok bok. Aye, oh, touch it, bok bok. Aye, touch it. Aye, touch it, bok bok." In the night. Now you are born again. And you are running your Christian life casually. May the Lord give you understanding. It is a luxury you cannot afford. I don't want to press that. I'm just giving us a whole scope. Because what we are doing here is to raise leaders in the body of Christ. So each and every one of us is a leader. It's a leader. Somewhere, somehow, you will bring this leadership to bear on your constituency. So we need to tell you the whole scope of things. Occult background. Your father was a grandmaster and he wanted to protect you. He gave you some marks here, then did some things. Normally, no, let me not give you the details. There is a certain material. After they give you those marks, they use that material to rub on the blood so that to stop the bleeding. If you know what and what constitutes what they use to rub it. Meanwhile, those marks, that is always symmetrical. If it's 2 here, it will be 2 this way. If it's 3 here, it will be 3. Why is this so? That's the marks of the watcher. That's where the demon will stay. When he wants to, it will hang there. Oh. Okay, you don't know what a dream. Okay, don't worry. The Lord will help you. There is a demon called the watcher. If you have worked with Indian people, you will know that thing. They will put one thing on the wall. That's where the demon will hang. The man can travel for 1 month and come back and tell you, you stole this, you took this, you took this. It's that watcher that he is in league with. That's his God. The watcher will supervise everybody. You come to work. He can tell you when you came to work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If you have ever worked with an Indian, they use the watcher spirit. It is those masks. It's on those masks the demons will have. In order for you to neutralize the impact of, it's like a remote control. You know, there's a relationship between the remote control and the television. As I say, channel 4. In order to detonate those things, so that even if they do the remote like this, it doesn't change anything. Huh? And there is an understanding you need. Occult background. You need to be sterilized. Jesus will have to sterilize you. And the extent to which he can do that kind of revamping is dependent on your submission to him as Lord. Is that clear? 2, 3. This one is a hard one. This is a difficult one to explain. Soulish penetration. Soulish penetration. Now, how many of you know that there are wizards, very intelligent wizards, that are writing best-selling books? And the reason for these books is to demonize people. To demonize people. Alright, so because you are ignorant of what is in that book, it doesn't have power over you. So in your search for knowledge, you saw a book on divination, you say, okay, the Bible talks about divination, I want to understand it. So you now went and outsourced the material for the subject. And you started reading a book on divination. And then you have applied your soul to something. From that day, if you finish that book, the typical divination book, if you finish it, you start having a voice in your head. Because you applied your soul in the wrong direction. People that started masturbation, pornography, that addicted to it, pornography had no power over them. But they started applying their soul to it. Now they can't stop going online to see naked women. They are not in control. That's what we call soulish penetration. So as a believer, you ensure that you screen every content you allow around your soul. Especially in this day of social media, Instagram, Facebook. You must ensure that you set your boundaries clearly. Right. You see, in this hall as we are now, we are people that are addicted to pornography. You know, the decency of preaching, according to those people that wanted to invite me and say, I talk about demons, that is not decent for you to say somebody is addicted to pornography. Our calling as ministers is not a call to societal decency. We are involved in a kind of ministry that actually may put us in bad light in society. So we are not trying to conform or trying to align. We are not trying to be part of a clique or a club. We are called to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Those are soulish penetrations. Make sure you are very careful in the kind of exposure you bring around your soul. Because demons of the soul can generate a connect of addiction. And demonization means there is a demon that is in control over an aspect of your. Every other thing is wonderful, but that aspect is not under your control. Are you still with me? The other day we were dealing with some people that were hooked on pornography. A few of them, the demons were speaking through them. Do you understand that? The demons were speaking through them. And then you say, come on, pornography. Is that clear? Number what? Five. Is it five? Four. Treasures in early childhood. Most of the advantages the devil gets is that he exploits a weakness in a time where you are weakest, and it establishes a foundation. Treasures. Treasures. Should I tell you practical stories of what I've found in ministry? A certain daughter of mine, she was about getting married, and she called me and said, I called you to tell you the truth. So what's the truth? I'm afraid of marriage. As the date begins to draw near, fear comes upon my soul heavily. I said, what do you mean by this? And I was trying to get the source. And I found out that the source was that she saw her parents fight from when she was small till when she became a teenager till when she became of age. So that's the idea she has. And the spirit of fear came in quietly. She didn't know. Because when it wasn't time for her to have any relationship, she didn't know there was any problem until she said yes. And then a torment began. A great torment. Are you still with me? It was a pressure that was built into place from childhood. Demons are very intelligent, and when they want to bring somebody into bondage, they preach to the person. Make the person believe that this position is the truth. And demons that influence the mind are the strongest. So what I did was that I began to show her another side of the possibility and to get her to think from outside of the box first. When I was able to achieve that, and I saw that I was able to motivate her and boost her desire for marriage, then we were able to address the spirit of limitation and restriction that was, whose effect was never seen until the season came for her to get married. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Are you there? So when raising children, two things are necessary. You must make children understand authority. Make them understand authority. And also show them love. Actually, the father is a symbol of authority and the mother is a symbol of love. That's what it's about. There must be a fine blend between authority and love. Number three, two, you must be exemplary. You must be what? Exemplary. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Six, demons can exploit. Five, demons can exploit a moment or a place of weakness. A moment or a place of weakness. A moment or a place of weakness. Should I tell you something? Me, I don't know how it is all around, but I know it in ministry. Hear me, O preacher of the gospel. You are most vulnerable after you have a successful meeting. You are most vulnerable after you've had a successful meeting. I don't know for other professions, but I know for ministry. Demons are likely to exploit a moment of weakness. Do you still remember Elijah when he called down fire from heaven? His face appeared on every newspaper like this. It was immediately after that victory that the enemy sent him a threat. And the great prophet that called down fire from heaven ran away because of that threat and was ready to abandon ministry. If you are not in your base, that is in your own home base, because this is my home base, all right? I have friends and intercessors here that cover me. But if you are not in your home base, I advise you not to counsel people too much. It's an advice. If you can even cancel it totally, it's advisable. I will not talk again. Let me leave that. Number 6. You know this one. Sinful acts and habits. Hallelujah. If you notice something and you want to conduct personal deliverance on yourself, notice that there's demons are actually in control here. This pornography issue, and it's an embarrassment. If it is possible for me to handle it myself, it will be better. Let me give you the tips for that. And then I will end by showing us how to operate in such a way that you are insulated from demonic activity. You are insulated. That's the life of the kingdom. Are you there with me? Personal deliverance. You have heard my story. I always say it. You know, before I gave my life to Christ, I was an expert liar. I had a degree in that. Lies that computers can scan, that human intelligence can pick. It's very well thought through. At the age of 14, I sent my dad on April Fool. Yeah, I was good. Hallelujah. I was good in that. Then I became a preacher. Then I noticed I had two streams. I could preach, but the lying spirit will still transmit. So I had to come back and sit down. Because I read the scripture that said, are you with me? That a fountain cannot release bitter water and sweet water. So if I'm a fountain, it is not good for me to have diverse qualities. And I felt concerned. And I, first of all, had to. You know, you need to be humble. Really, that's the first point here, is humility. Because if you are not humble, you will not be enlightened. Just like I said, it's very difficult for you to see yourself, but you can see others very clearly. Alright? I can see your own mistake. I can yab you. I can talk about you. See this lady. But I don't know that I have 10 times the issues I'm pointing out in your life. You will need a state of humility of heart, which is critical. If not, you will not be enlightened to see that you have a problem. Because I was doing well. People liked my preaching. So if my yardstick was results, I had results. But most of what we define results to be are from the framework of human judgment, not from the framework of God's scale of evaluation. And I knew that from God's scale of evaluation, even though I was a preacher that people had begun to like, they called me, I had so many names those days. But I knew in the eyes of God I was not very great. Because I knew my God had the ability to see what I was doing. And meanwhile, I'm not ashamed. Everywhere I missed it, I will tell you, it's part of the development, so that you will know that I was not always like this. I'm not ashamed of that. It's a very good tool in my teaching ministry. Hallelujah. Now, I've ever taught before, and then I went and studied. I found out what I thought was wrong. I came here again. I said, that thing I preached, this aspect, can you cancel it?
This is the because I have a desire to be right.
You know, that's what I did. And when I went back to prayer, I say, you have honored me. I'll make you an original expositor of my word. That humility. You, may God cause your heart to be humble.
Amen.
I was told of a pastor that fasted 70 days. And on the 70th day, he wanted to conduct deliverance for a lady and now saw himself handling her breast.
I could see that coming. Are you
kidding? Hallelujah.
You know, he needs to be humble for him to be enlightened.
If he's not humble, if he's full of pride, after that, glory to God, hallelujah.
Then he didn't see it because he doesn't have a heart of humility.
There's something else that is very powerful that can manipulate your will. Someone that is ready to fast for 70 days, that's not what he wants to get at the product. There are people that have covered that aspect of their lives and they are still carrying on because they are not humble enough to be enlightened. As you grow, some of your weaknesses will be highlighted. If you lack the humility to stand back and say, Lord, I need your touch here. And you will never outgrow needing the Lord's touch. If you are genuine. So there's a humility, that's the first point. Then it leads to an enlightenment. That enlightenment now makes you know that there is something that is not right. Hallelujah. Then when you have come to the point of enlightenment, you will have to confess the sin before God. Just like I confessed lying. That is the works of lying, the acts of lying. After confessing the acts of lying, I now reject the lying spirit. You see, that's the progression. You confess, you reject.
Reject the lying spirit.
And then you renounce it, that I will not have anything to do with this lying spirit again. The lying spirit will still come. But the difference is, after rejecting the lying spirit, when it comes, it will not have as much authority as he had before. Because before, I would just be preaching. I wouldn't know when. I was not in control of it, because the spirit was in control. Once you reject it, it will come and then be looking for permission for you to transmit on his channel. You will have the right to say, I want to allow it transmit, or I don't want to allow it transmit. That's the next thing you notice. And then if you reject its transmission one time, two times, three times, the fourth time, its power will become so weak and it become negligible and ultimately non-existent. That's personal deliverance. That's the procedure. Is that clear? Now, how do you help someone deliver somebody by the anointing? Some people don't even know they have demons. They don't know. And one of the agencies by which God helps, this is the automatic method, is by giving men the anointing. So the one I just said now is deliverance, personal deliverance. The one I want to say now is deliverance by the anointing. When you come into a place, you know, there's an anointing on your life. And one of the reasons why God put that anointing on your life is to ensure that people are free from demons. Free from devils. Free from devils. Alright. I think it's only practically that I can teach that. So can I push it to evening? Ministering deliverance by the anointing. There's something that Paul calls the demonstration of the Spirit. Are you with me? The demonstration of the Spirit is not necessarily the manifestation of any gift of the Spirit. It is one of the accessories that is attached to Spirit operations. It's called what? The demonstration of the Spirit. If there's an anointing on your life that in the area of demonstrating the Spirit, that's the anointing that brings out people that are demonized or possessed. Paul says that my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. For instance, for me as an individual, I have a calling in the area of demonstrating the Spirit. It was when I was praying in the city of Zaria, praying to come and minister. And then God spoke to me, he said, take my presence and power to the peoples of the world. I knew that God was commissioning me to demonstrate his power. Demonstrate. If I want to demonstrate God's power here, people that don't even know that they have anything to do with demons, the thing will bring it out. And I know how to activate that. If I just activate that man on that keyboard now. No, don't go there. Don't go there. If I activate him. Because I have been taught by Jesus. Yes. When Jesus begins to teach you about demonstrating power, he will show you what sort of person you are. Whether you are like Elijah or you are like Elisha. He will show you, it is the way you are that God will teach you how to demonstrate power. So if you don't have a discovery of your clan, your tribe, your lineage, spiritually, it might be difficult for you to master the handle of demonstrating the Spirit. I am from the lineage of Elisha. And those of us from this lineage, we need a minstrel. We need a minstrel to be able to come into that frequency. You see, I don't want to allow that aspect of ministry to overtake my teaching. Because if we go there, we'll not be able to come back. But it's obvious that I need to teach you by demonstrating. Then in the evening, meanwhile, we have part of the lecture that I will not be able to give this time. We'll push it. Why some people are not delivered? We have to, you know, the apostles asked Jesus, they said, why couldn't we cast it? Followed all the laws, all the principles, but nothing happened. So there is a lecture on that. There is a course on its own. Why some people are not delivered. Hallelujah. So I'm going to talk about deliverance under the anointing. Before I do, I need to tell us. If we do that, then we'll now move to the territorial. According to the book of Acts chapter 8, as we'll see this evening, there is a certain personality that is critical to demonic civilization in every community. What's the name of that guy in Acts chapter 8? Philip went to preach in Simon the Sorcerer. I will tell you the place of that person. He is a booster. He's a pump station in demonic activity in the territory. Because when we move our emphasis to territorial, we cannot do without the medium, satanic medium. So we have to look at some matters critically. And what God equips kingdom people with in order for them to be capable of extending the frontiers of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Okay. I need to do practical. Okay, I just have 15 minutes. Practical for 15 minutes. Now the reason for this practical is to show you what the anointing is. What exactly is the anointing? What is the anointing? And what is this ability to demonstrate the Spirit? Now we need to be careful. Let the river find me. Find where I am in the Spirit with that sound. Find me first. I can't hear what you are playing. Just a little. Like a river. I was in my Oh yes, thank you, Jesus. All right. It takes 5 seconds to 12 seconds. If you are living a daily consecrated life, for you to hook up to the channel, 5 to 12 seconds. So like right now, I'm on the channel. Alignment is critical. It's of the heart. Okay, I want you to also hook up to the channel. You have 12 seconds to pray in tongues. See, wait, you're not following. You want to stir up an anointing. The first thing you need to do is to empty your heart of every care. Some of you want house rent. Some of you need to marry by September. Can you empty your heart of every care? Let the only thing, I know you want to graduate quickly. Forget about it for now. Let the only thing that will be upon your heart be Jesus. He will rise from within you. You will know when he has risen. Can we try that? I'm telling you how to study anointing. Just of Lord. Then you can speak in tongues quietly. Not so loud that you will not be able to hear if somebody is speaking. Can we go? Forget about your neighbor. Forget about your GP. Forget about your heartbreak. And let's go in search of Jesus. Let us search for Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus. Amboria Siko. Jekolia Mahabraski Sose Kambele. Kevusia Nekopresko Felami. Lahampresko Felaikos Kami. Michael Salamanda. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. That's enough time for you to enter into the channel. Alright, let's do this way. If you are here and you have a hearing problem, stand up. Hearing problem. Stand up. Okay, this practical will be difficult. Just come out so that you are worthy to be praised. Awesome God. You are worthy. No. Doctor might have his own. Is he hearing? Are you sure he's hearing? No. This is calm. Is her problem hearing? Sure. All right. How are you? Okay. You know why I like small children?
If she is healed, you will know. The reason why... Sit down. The reason why people are deaf is because there is something called a deafening spirit. Me, I'm a spiritual physician. The ear doctor may have his own prescription. I'm telling you my own. My own works more than their own. That's a deafening spirit. So what we'll do is we will bind the deafness. When we say we are binding something, we are immobilizing it. The mommy of this of the young lady, come so that you can help her. Okay? When you say you bind, you immobilize. After you immobilize, then you cast it out. Is that difficult? Bind. And then you do what? Now, the agency that I'm using now is not the anointing. The agency I'm using is my authority in the spirit. In the evening, I'm going to show you the anointing option, the power option, the authority option. Because those are the two tools that God will equip you with in order for you to extend the frontiers of His kingdom. So this option is called authority option. How many of you have ever watched? Okay, we have ministry people here. In a match past, there's only one person that is commanding the player to left, right, left, right. And there can be 200 people. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, up. Only one command. So even if there are 2,000 demons, what you need is just what? One command. It's a left, right. The authority I operate in as an agent of light is superior to darkness. So I should be able to give them instructions. So you don't beg demons, you instruct them if you have authority. Part of the lecture I was supposed to give, which I can't give in this context, is what makes your authority effective? Because many people think miracles are big things. They are small things if you have authority. You will see them every day of your life. Every day. Even in unlikely places like the airport. Somebody just sees us. You just say, loose him. So that they will not arrest you. As you say, loose him, just be going. Just be moving. The person falls there. Just forget about it. The demon you have touched. Authority. I need to tell you that life. The life of authority. Hallelujah. Now, those of you here. Take this, your finger, put it in the ear that is troubled. No. See, this one, cover it totally. So, mom, do that girl. All right. Is it the both of the ears or one? All right. So just cover it. Glory to God. She's going to hear from that. All right. Let's pray. So, congregation, can you pray and bind the devil? Bind the devil. It's practical. Don't close your eyes. I'm seeing one sister there. No, don't close your eyes. It's practical. See what we are doing so that you can go and do it in high level. In Uniagra. Go to the village and you see someone with hearing problems and say, no, I came with solution. But just tell them, put that finger, block the one that cannot hear. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Say a prayer there. Say, sow a seed of prayer. So, ushers, choir. Can we sing that song again? You are
you are.
bind every deafening spirit. Deafening spirits be bound in the name of Jesus. Command your hand broken. Broken from the lives of these ones in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose the ears now in the name of Jesus. Come out of the ears right now. Come out of the ears right now. In the name of Jesus. Now, ear. Begin to hear now. Remove this hand. Block the one that can hear very well. Block the one that can hear. This is the one that can hear. Block it with your hand. The same finger. You are going to be my doctor. Because if I do it, they will say, block the one that can hear now. And then, come and help me test. If they can hear, you will be able to tell me. Help me test. Help me test. Mom, you can help me test. Just help me test. Just help me test. Help me test. The ones I can hear, let's go. The ones I cannot hear, let's go. So that you can be bold to pray for them, to pray for blind people, pray for mad people. Huh? Two of them can hear. This guy can hear. This one can hear. Okay, come. Two of you come. The remaining, stay there, stay there, stay there. Now, I hope you know what I did is not difficult. Is it difficult? For how long have you had problems with that ear?
Getting to a year now.
Okay, for 1 year now. What is the condition of the ear before?
It will block. I will be like the sound they are playing. I won't be hearing it. But when I see something lifted out of my ear, then I will be hearing it very loud.
As I... Okay, for you, how has been the condition?
It's most now. I've been hearing. Whenever I come to meetings like this, I have to strain my ear.
Okay, for how long?
8 months.
Hallelujah. Can you give Jesus glory? Let grace. Let grace perform in the name of Jesus. Yes, we can go. Let's try again. That cannot hear. One more time. This time, I will pray for you. No, just follow my instruction. Father, in the name of Jesus, I arrest all my. No, don't pray. Just. Is this the ear that cannot hear? Is this the ear that cannot hear? This is the one that cannot hear. In the name of Jesus, I arrest deafening spirits. I command you, deafening spirits, lose your hold in the name of Jesus. Okay, the hand of God is upon you. Lose your hold. Lose your hold in the name of Jesus. Test the other ear. Test this ear.
This is the one that cannot hear. This is the one that can hear. Okay. Speak into it. You close. Go to this one. Speak there. Okay, you can hear now. Now, that's number one. Number two, what I'm seeing is that God is sending you to your family to destroy some works of the devil. I'm seeing that. There is an Asian mode that visited your family some time ago, and he left a curse there. The curse has been following people in that family. And God is anointing you so that that strange trend can be destroyed. I see the hand of the Lord Jesus stretch forth in your direction. He says, time for your family to be liberated. It's time for liberation. It's time for liberation. It's time for liberation. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I go see. I lama mokore. Iba halaba sobriya kapeta. His hand is stretched forth. He's stretched forth. He's stretched forth. He's stretched forth. Thank you. I see a demon that has been siphoning money. Siphoning money. You should be a bigger man than you are like now. But there's restoration. There's restoration. There's restoration. Oh, he visits you. 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 He visits you with grace. Yes, so shall we. Can you pray for this, my brother? Pray for him. Stretch your hand and pray for him. Aikosama. Ilama kaito. Praise the vaso. Zigo pray. Keto kombo. Zigo barato. Minasa liko. Krokotoria. Palamana manamano. Subria tababodiba kadia. Embregede, suga pregede, suga pregede, suga pregede, suga manzale. Entomina kabala, tomina kabala, tomina shaka. Prescote mazeli, capriata babuloko. Endelebokoria masika. Ibrahma canta babura kasa. Baitoko, baite samala, toria, cabe supria tababula cante. Mandorobokoria, siko pre. In Jesus' name. Go. Things will change. Celebrate him. Celebrate. Now that you have celebrated him, can we celebrate Jesus for his life? Alright. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every deafening spirit and I command you, lose your hold upon this life in the name of Jesus. Lose your hold. Lose your hold. Lose your hold. In the name of Jesus, the hand of God is upon you. Lose your hold. Lose your hold. Lose your hold. Let the ear open. Okay, it's open. Let it open. Let the blockage be taken. Let the blockage be taken. In the name of Jesus. Okay, test the ear. Sister, test. Can she hear without ear? She can't hear. This one. Okay. Sit down, 25 minutes, I'll ask you again. This is the one I want from the Lord. Is this one that is not hearing? Which one cannot hear? Come.
ask, as I bind every deafness spirit, be bound in the name of Jesus. Loser. Now I command your ears to begin to hear. Okay, mom, come and test again. Test again. See me later. Now. Hallelujah. I hope you are not clapping for me because you are wrong. Amen. In the evening, I will pray for you so that you can do likewise. But you know what? I'm seeing an angel standing here so quiet. So quiet. In fact, I don't even know why the Lord sent this angel. Okay. There's somebody in this congregation. You have been fighting a spiritual war for a long time. Even though you have been consistent in the place of prayer about the war, there has been little or no change. And the Lord is empowering you now. He's empowering you now. Help me bring that sister. Strengthened of the Lord. Let's go around. Before you come for the evening service, prepare yourself. Take some time to pray, at least 1 hour in the spirit, to mobilize yourself. this evening will be a blessing, a great blessing. A great blessing in your life is coming this evening. In the name of Jesus. People will leave this place and walk into breakthroughs. All kinds of breakthroughs will take place after this meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just in case you are carrying a liability through the instrumentality of inheritance, a major liability, God is going to address it this evening. Things will be cut off. A new season will come for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you cast your seed, then you can begin to pray. And begin to pray and commit yourself into the hands of God. Please, if there are areas that you have been touched, there are areas of emphasis that God has opened your eyes to see, make sure you begin to address those issues personally and break the power of the devil. We do not accept to be demonized. There will be no aspect of our lives that the devil will control.